today on Family Talk.
Let me just say that for everyone listening, if you want to save America, you've got to save Christianity. But if you want to save Christianity, you have to save the family. Many people assume that the erosion of Christianity and the weakening of the evangelical world is what's also caused the corresponding erosion of the family. Christianity died, then the family died. False. Let me show you what even secular sociologists are documenting, that the family began to erode first. Let me read you a quote by sociologist Bradford Wilcox and Mary Everstadt. They've got a book called How the West Lost God. Quote, "The recent history of American religion illuminates what amounts to a sociological law. The fortunes of American religion rise or fall with the fortunes of the intact married family."
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Atlanta with my co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Over the 3 days we were there, we interviewed several amazing authors and speakers on a variety of topics. The show floor was loud, and you may hear some background noise, but the content is strong, and I'm excited to share these great interviews with you over the next few months. So here now is the conclusion of our interview from the show floor of the World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart a couple of years ago, Comedy Central. And so we're sitting in the green room after the taping, and there's Jon Stewart and John Oliver, who you know, and all this crew. And they were, you know, really grilling me about Christianity. And I said,
really?
Oh, yeah.
No, nicely, angrily.
In a friendly way. But they were giving all these, you know, hypothetical questions about, you know, could God make a rock so heavy even he couldn't lift it? These alleged conundrums.
Really important issue.
By the way, isn't that a funny one?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to look at him and be like, is that the only thing between you and a relationship with Christ?
I know.
Is the rock?
The rock, yeah.
Really? And that's the only thing between you and Christ?
Well, you know, somebody said, you say God can do anything. And I said, no, I didn't say God can do anything. God can do anything that's logically meaningful and in accord with his nature. So somebody said, could God make two men, each one taller than the other? And I said, good one. You know, that's kind of a conundrum. But here's what I said. I said, look, how many believe that you have a body and a soul? You're physical, you're non-physical. You've got a body and a soul. That's like everybody. I said, okay. And they were really listening. They were riveted. I said, okay, the body works in certain ways. You eat from the five food groups, good nutrition, that's going to be positive. You eat paint chips, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it at least possible... Is it at least within the realm of possibility that just as the body operates in a certain ways, nutrition is good, poison is bad, couldn't the soul operate in a certain set of parameters? You feed on truth and love and righteousness and goodness. That's spiritually healthy. You feed on lies and darkness and sin and immorality and hatred and the evil things. That's spiritually unhealthy. Before I get to Jesus, let me at least throw this out. Isn't it at least possible that just as the body operates in a certain way, the mind and the soul and the spirit operates within a certain set of boundaries? And you know, I think that was like the first time they began to say, wow.
Mm. Did they agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are these guys atheists? Do they believe in a God of any kind?
Some were, some weren't. A few of the crew at Comedy Central came and they said, hey, I'm Catholic. I was really rooting for you.
That's a tough show to go on. I've seen that. His longest interviews are about 6 minutes start to finish.
And there's very little you can develop in six.
Exactly.
And they know where they want to go.
He's got a pretty heavy hammer out.
He really does. But, you know, people are willing to dialogue and talk. And that's why apologetics is necessary. I think that's why we need to be able to explain what we believe and why. But let me just say this back to Benjamin Franklin warned. Benjamin Franklin said one of the most disastrous things that could ever happen to America is if we go from a, quote, unified republic to dozens of squabbling factions.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's where we are. And even within the church, there's very little unity. Let me say, in the books, in the Truth for a New Generation conference, what we're trying to do, we're trying to unite the body of believers around these essentials. You know, some people sleep in the pews, others jump over them.
Government, American exceptionalism, social justice, homosexuality. How do we handle that one?
Well, you know, I minored in developmental psychology in my graduate program, and you've got to understand homosexual behavior. Same-sex attraction is a means of dealing with pain.
Yeah.
Interviewed a man yesterday that's a recovering homosexual, and I said, let me run my standard line by you, and you respond. I said, I had a prof from UCLA Medical School 19 years ago who said that in clinical case studies with hundreds of men and women who identify as homosexual, there's always four contributing factors: lack of bonding with the parent of the same sex, mm-hmm. early childhood molestation,
yes.
early childhood exposure to pornography or other early childhood trauma, divorce, domestic violence, substance abuse in the home. There are a number of things that contribute to the struggle with same-sex attraction. And this individual yesterday said absolutely right on the money. And let me say, we're not picking out sins. There are those who struggle with opposite sex attraction. There
sure.
are those who struggle
yeah,
with
sure.
a myriad of sins.
Sexuality.
Exactly.
Is, yes.
Well, it's like people, I mean, I'm just being honest, but people in the pornography industry,
oh yeah,
it's virtually every single person there has had some form of abuse in life.
Exactly.
And you have people say, oh, no, I had a great relationship with my parents. It's not true.
Yeah.
When you dig down deep, there is abuse there, and that's why that industry exists.
There are wounds.
People hurting people have continued to hurt more people, and that's why that whole industry exists. And
you know,
when
you take a wounded person, and
right.
we're all wounded to some degree,
and
you know, and looking at the development of children, I believe that the development of a sexuality is a very sophisticated, complicated process. It involves the emotional, the intellectual, the physical, the spiritual,
mm-hmm.
even. And kids will acknowledge
Absolutely.
that doesn't happen in a year or two or three. It really isn't fully developed until somebody's in their early 20s.
Sure.
So this idea that you've got a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 13-year-old that says, I'm transgender, I was born a girl, but I'm really a boy. And I think that in a hyper-sexualized culture,
right.
the damage that we've done is, say, rubber stamp. And this is what really bothers me. Claim your sexuality now, stand by it, defend it, and that's it. It doesn't help a person deal with the pain that you're talking about.
Very destructive. You know, in insurance actuaries, they know that for an adult gay male, they statistically will live 20 years less
yes.
than a heterosexual yeah. monogamous male. Homosexuality is a destructive lifestyle, and certainly in the church, I think about several major denominations that have decided to completely turn what the Bible says upside down. We are not truly loving our neighbor when we allow
yeah.
them to destroy themselves in a lie.
Well, and Alex, just from a medical standpoint, and kids will say this to me all the time, because I go into high schools across the country and I talk to them about sexuality and sexual activity, and they say, yeah, but what if I'm gay? I said, well, the same rules apply, even more so. If you're 16, 17, 18-year-old and you say you're a gay male, you better not be sexually active, because it's extremely high-risk behavior from a medical standpoint. Let's put aside the emotional and everything.
Sure.
And I, as a physician, if I said to you and encouraged you to just do the safe sex thing,
yeah.
yeah.
that would be
when
malpractice.
When you know it's not true.
When I know it's... So just from a disease standpoint, which no pastor wants to talk about.
Sure.
No church wants to talk about. You know, we have all the medical evidence, putting
oh,
all
yeah.
aside, all the
mm-hmm,
psychology, mm-hmm. all the religious, everything, to say, look, this is very, very destructive for you, and it's bad for your health.
Uh-huh.
It's scary for your health. Please, it's very, very hard, but it's an issue that I think those who are pro-free sexuality.
I know.
See, I don't even think, Alex, it's about homosexuality, transsexuality. I think it's about sexual freedom.
It is.
At all costs. It's about sexual, I don't want to say anarchy, if you will, but where people can do whatever they want. I don't even think it's about a homosexual agenda.
It's not even just sexuality. It's freedom, quote unquote freedom, not autonomous freedom, but it's I want to be able to do anything I want to do at any time, and no one can tell me anything
regardless
different.
Regardless of what it does to another person.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, regrettably, tragically, what the 60s, 70s, and 80s gave us, you know, as a Christian, we're free in Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and we're under grace. But that's not freedom to do anything, but it's liberty. And our founding fathers gave us a nation of liberty within the moral constructs and boundaries of God's word. But what the 70s gave us is what I would call a militant autonomy.
Yeah.
There are no rules, there are
That's
no morals,
yeah.
and heaven Yeah. You don't tell me anything I can or can't do. And what youth leaders, I do a parenting seminar, raising godly kids in a no-rules culture. I say, look, besides the moral and the spiritual, besides the psychological, let's talk about the physiological. Let's talk about HPV and STDs. And, you know, essentially, for men who get involved in homosexuality, there is no such thing as male homosexual monogamy. The average gay male will have over 100 different sexual partners in his brief life.
It's dangerous.
And by the way, here's the thing, Alex, because there are Christians out there right now going, ew, gross. I understand that, but you have to understand that comes from pain.
Yeah. Yes.
It comes from pain. Monogamous, loving relationships is the ideal.
Yeah.
Being with someone like my parents, 54 years
what
of marriage.
What a testimony.
Can I, love and support. 100 partners is pain.
Pain. And I think there's underpinnings of something else. I went to an all-women's college in the 1970s outside of Boston. And I remember my colleagues saying, whatever men have, we want. Whatever they do, we want better. And we want to do it better. And I think that there was a real bite to the arguments. And what happened along the way, as women got more attention and women got more verbal and vocal and aggressive in many ways, what we did is we hammered on men. And if you look at how men are portrayed, fathers are portrayed, versus how women are portrayed in media, there's a huge disparity. Men are dumb and women are smart. Women don't need men. We're a culture that says we don't need men. And so how do men respond to that? And it's very natural for them to get together.
It's tearing each other apart.
Exactly.
I have no problem with women's sports.
Yeah.
I have no problem with women scientists, mathematicians, doctors. Goodness gracious, Dr. Meg, pediatrician, 25 years. My pediatrician is a female. My kids love Dr. Annalise.
But it's not about that.
But in our society, somehow we've gotten to the point where in order for women to succeed, we also have to tear men down.
Right.
And you don't.
You don't.
It doesn't have to be anything you can do, I can do better. It's just we do things differently, and we celebrate that. There are many, many, many things that my wife does better than me. She surfs better than me, a lot better than me. I enjoy it a great deal, but she's better than me. So what?
And we'll be back to the program right after this.
Someone once said, comparison is the root of all inferiority, and how true that is. When you look at another person's strengths and compare them to your own weaknesses, there's just no way to come out feeling good about yourself. Young people are especially vulnerable to the game of comparison. A while back, I was speaking to a group of teenagers at a conference, and I'll never forget the question posed by one young man. He said, "It seems that everyone has more to offer than I do. I envy the guys who are better looking than I am, or more athletic, or smarter. I just don't measure up. How can I deal with my own insecurities?" The problem he was describing is a common one among young men and women. Even at a young age, our self-images are shaped by how we stack up against our peers. It's not how tall we are that matters, it's who's the tallest. It's not how fast we can run, it's who runs fastest. It's not how smart we are, it's who's the smartest. Thus begins a pattern of self-doubt that often becomes all-consuming during adolescence. The answer I gave that young man is one that many teenagers need to hear. When you pit yourself against the best and brightest, you're merely setting yourself up for failure. Mental health begins with an acceptance of life as it is and a willingness to make the most of the unique strengths and talents you've been given. When that's achieved, comparison with others is no longer a relevant issue.
There's more Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson at myfamilytalk.com.
And now, back to the program.
We're talking about things that tear the church apart, and it's our society tears everything apart. Yep. Why can't we just have, we can praise women and support the things that they do
But it all comes down to, again, how did Jesus tell us to live?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say that for everyone listening, if you want to save America, you've got to save Christianity. But if you want to save Christianity, you have to save the family. Many people assume that the erosion of Christianity and the weakening of the evangelical world is what's also caused the corresponding erosion of the family. Christianity died, then the family died. False. Let me show you what even secular sociologists are documenting, that the family began to erode first. In 1970, California ratified no-fault divorce. A year later, New York followed suit.
Yeah, by the way, guess who?
I know. And listen.
You know who did this? By the way, he said it was the greatest mistake of his political career.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Listen, I revere Reagan. First presidential election I ever voted in. And I was not even saved yet. And I remember pulling that lever for Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Yeah.
And I thought, this would be the best president I ever vote for. I thought that. But let me read you a quote by sociologist Bradford Wilcox and Mary Everstadt. They've got a book called How the West Lost God. Quote, the recent history of American religion illuminates what amounts to a sociological law. The fortunes of American religion rise or fall with the fortunes of the intact married family. So here's what happened. We abandoned the family first, and then the result, among other things, was the erosion of religion. Now, why is that? It's because in the home, in the context of family, around the dinner table, breaking bread together, faith and values are passed on.
Mm-hmm.
The family eroding is not the result of the previous erosion of religion. Religion unraveling, Christianity, is a result of the prior breakdown of the family.
What preceded the breakdown of the family?
What preceded the breakdown of the family were several interesting cultural trends. For one thing, post-war, the rise of youth culture, the rise of anti-establishment and anti-authoritarian
belief. Look at the Vietnam War, don't trust anyone over 30.
Abby Hoffman, don't trust anyone over 30. Let me say, look at 1960 versus 1970. 1960, it's Ozzy and Harriet and Lucy and Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
1970, it's Woodstock and Jim Morrison saying there are no rules, there are no laws.
See, I attribute that a lot to, you know, I hate to say this on the air, but a lot when the birth control pill came out and sexual freedom came about, you know, that undermined a lot of families. And people started thinking, wait a minute,
it was
I can start to do what I want and I can be unfaithful, I can be sexually free and have no consequences.
Sure. Let me tell you three books in the 60s that contributed to where we are right now. Dr. Spock's baby book, Situation Ethics, The New Morality by Joseph Fletcher in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
There's No Moral Absolutes. Sex and the Single Girl, Helen Gurley Brown, and the Rise of the Cosmo Culture, and the Rise of Feminism. And let me say, Christianity, if you read Galatians 3, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female. Mm-hmm. We're all one in Christ. What that means in the whole biblical framework is what we call complementarianism. Men and women are equal before God, but unique in function.
Yes.
You're equal as an image bearer, equal in worth and value and personhood and dignity.
Yeah.
But we're unique. Males have unique roles and strengths and tendencies. Females have unique strengths.
And if you read the Gospels closely, for me personally, there's no greater female woman advocate than Jesus.
Oh yeah.
Nobody. And yet,
listen, the woman at the well.
Yeah, but Christianity to a secular world is synonymous with, for many women, because I hear this, male oppression. Males are going to tell us what to do. Males are going to make us submit. And I think there's a lot of pushback from secular women to say, I don't want anything to do with Christianity because that's what you all do, is men oppress you. And it's really the exact opposite, the whole submission thing.
Well, when I was at UNC Greensboro in the early 1980s, University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and I was not even a Christian yet, but red flags would go up in my mind. I was told that sex within marriage was rape. I remember.
Unpack that just a tiny bit.
Yeah, don't
leave
that hanging.
Well, because clearly it was anti-traditional marriage, anti-family. It was that men are always the aggressor, men are always chauvinistic. And I remember I had a certain...
That means all sex has to be rape.
Well,
it's not just in marriage, but then it would be all.
Well, unless you're homosexual.
But that I marriage guess. Was a Western male patriarchal construct to subjugate and dominate women. That marriage was a male invention. And as we all know, the church is this patriarchal male machine for dominating the world. Let me say this. Where we are in our culture, everything has become politicized, everything has become sexualized.
Yes.
I come along and I say, okay, here's truth. God loves you. Christ died for you. Jesus has a better way to live. And the secular unchurched world is thinking, okay, what's your angle? You're trying to play me.
Yes,
everything
exactly.
is politicized. Everything is sexualized. We say, I'm this way, and I'm Alex. I'm a writer. I'm a speaker. Well, the world assumes that everything you do and your whole identity is wrapped up in sexual urges. And that goes back to Freud, that basically says there's a sexual motive behind everything. And it's not that way. Yeah. Sexuality is one component of who we are, but it's not everything. And I know I probably sound like a fundamentalist preacher up on a soapbox, but all of this is traceable back to an evolutionary worldview that presupposes you are nothing more than a primate.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And your whole existence is to hunt, to gather, to procreate.
To dominate,
exactly. You're not a soul who can know God, who has personality and aesthetic value to develop and grow. No, you are merely a primate. Mm. You're nothing but a beast with animal urges, and that's all you are. And that's why we assume everything is sexualized. Everything is about power, not truth. Everything is politicized. We are a world living out some very false, very dark presuppositions that have been drilled into our consciousness since the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
And I believe that as Christians, we need to be able to walk into that and begin to diffuse that. We have to be able to start to diffuse that and say, no, I'm not going to allow everything you talk about to be politicized or sexualized or come back to these core, you know, fundamental things that divide us. I'm just not going to go there.
Sure.
Wow, I tell you, Alex, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I could listen to Alex all day. Just turn Alex on and like let him
go.
And you know, the book that we are talking about, which I think is extremely important and every Christian should go by, Alex McFarland's book, 10 Issues That Divide Christians. It's a very, very important read. Alex, you're amazing.
Well, you know, I just want to be on record and say how much I revere Dr. Dobson and your mom, Ryan, and you, and all that you're doing. The work of Family Talk is vital these days. I will tell you, I had been on the road speaking. Dr. Dobson put me on the radio 11 years ago. It launched me. I went from being kind of an unknown in the backwoods to getting invitations to major churches. And to everyone listening, I'm sure many of you know what I'm saying, but for those that are maybe new to Family Talk, this is one of the most vital ministries I think God has raised up. I want to encourage you to pray for Family Talk, to support Family Talk financially, to tell your friends and your church, your pastor. It's been my privilege to know some of God's generals. Chuck Colson was a personal friend. I had lunch with him the last day he was ever in his office. He spoke at our conference 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Josh McDowell has been a mentor of mine. I've known a few of the people that God used to change the world. And I say that Dr. Dobson is really, in some ways, the last of the generals. I mean, James Kennedy is gone. Adrian Rogers is gone.
Yeah, but you know what, Alex? No one's arising. You're a general.
And we're looking
rising.
At one right now. That's
we're
right.
We're looking
well,
at one.
That's right.
Well, I just want to say how much I am indebted to all of you.
Well, Alex, and we love you. We love your work. We love working with you. Mm-hmm. You've been with Family Talk for a couple years, and we really do appreciate you.
May God extend the reach of your borders to the entire world.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And back at you.
Thanks for being
thank
here, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Oh, what a great program we've enjoyed today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia, from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here.
Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us by downloading the new Family Talk mobile app. You can not only use the app to hear our broadcast 24 hours a day, but you can view video commentaries or get answers to your family-related questions with our Solid Answers tool. They're all free and available on Android, iPhone, and iPad devices. I hope you'll visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.